Hello, this is Sharon, and I welcome you to the Pantograph for today, Wednesday, September 9th, 2026. We begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled Illinois State University, Engineering for Redbirds, Ribbon Cut for New College Distinctively Designed for ISU. Edison Charles, a second-year electrical engineering student at Illinois State University, said it was difficult to find a balance between his studies and his family life during his first year of school. But after interning at Hansen Professional Services in Springfield and working with drones, sensors, and computer-aided design technology, he got to see all the practical applications of the lab work he was doing as part of ISU's College of Engineering. However, his favorite part of his first year was the connections he made with his professors and fellow engineers, which gave him a new sense of what college is about. "It's not about getting good grades and getting a degree," Charles said. "It's about figuring out who you are as a person and what you want to do, learning how to handle challenges, meeting people, and taking advantage of opportunities that come along." Charles joined more than 200 other attendees in the main atrium of the College of Engineering's new campus at 1709 General Electric Road on Tuesday for a dedication ceremony and ribbon cutting. Among the attendees were Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, State Representative Sharon Chung, Democrat from Bloomington, State Senator Dave Kohler, Democrat from Peoria, Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady, McLean County Board Chair Elizabeth Johnston, and several past and present ISU board members. Tom Kaiser, Dean of the ISU College of Engineering, said this event represents more than the opening of a new facility. "It reflects on years of vision, planning, partnership, generosity, and hard work from countless individuals who believed that Illinois State could truly and distinctively create an engineering program center on innovation, collaboration, and student success," Kaiser said. The possibility of a new college was first discussed in 2016. Anna Yazdegin, Vice President of Academic Affairs and Provost at ISU, said she has been involved in these conversations for the last 6 years, and it was always important to the staff not to create an engineering program that could be found anywhere else. "We wanted to build something that would reflect who we at Illinois State, a student-centered culture, close faculty mentorship, and meaningful experiential learning experiences," she said. "We wanted to create an environment where students didn't have to wait until their junior or senior year to begin thinking and working like engineers." Last year, ISU's Board of Trustees authorized $41.5 million on construction and equipment costs for the first phase of the new campus, which was previously owned by Country Financial. Including property acquisition costs, the first phase of the project required a roughly $58 million investment. However, Kaiser had said that the first phase remained under budget thanks to a full renovation on the space that was performed 4 years ago. Governor Pritzker said this is an investment in a new generation of Redbird engineers who will help build new technologies, design the state's infrastructure, strengthen its manufacturing base, improve energy systems, and solve challenges Illinois may not have encountered. "Illinois has always been a state where people design, build, and innovate from the railroads that connected communities and opened new market to the world's first skyscraper, and to our innovations in manufacturing and agriculture, in quantum computing and energy," Pritzker said. that spirit of building and problem solving is part of who we are as a state, and it's incumbent on us in state government to harness all of that spirit and, more importantly, to invest in it. The College of Engineering will occupy about half of the 392,000 square feet of space and will accommodate roughly 700 students in the first phase. Once class sizes exceed this number, the university will enter a second phase of expansion. Enrollment reached 168 students during the college's inaugural fall 2025 class. Fall enrollment this year decreased, but Kaiser had said that numbers is expected to change thanks to transfer students from one of ISU's new partnerships with Heartland Community College. The true measure of the college can be found in what happens inside these walls, Kaiser said. It will be found in the students we educate. ISU President Andover Tarhule said that although this dream came into fruition under his leadership, he credited former President Larry Dietz and Provost Emeritus Jan Murphy for laying the foundational work that made the project possible. It is a place where students will transform curiosity into discovery, ideas into innovation, and education into meaningful careers that strengthen families and communities throughout Illinois and beyond, Tarhule said. Following the ribbon cutting, attendees were given guided tours of the two-story campus. Today's Flick Fact Question. Many Hollywood movies include former Illinois State and Illinois Wesleyan University students. But can you name the two movies that featured two Bloomington Normal collegiate alums in the same film? And today's answer is Clint Eastwood's In the Line of Fire, 1993, also starred ISU alumni John Malkovich and Gary Cole. And the Coen brothers' Burn After Reading in 2008 starred Malkovich and IWU's Richard Jenkins. Vicki Lawrence coming to Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Emmy Award-winning actress and comedian Vicki Lawrence is coming to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts next year. Lawrence, who is known for her roles on The Carol Burnett Show and Mama's Family, will bring Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show, to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 17th. Doors will open at 6 p.m. For one night only, Lawrence will bring her signature humor, stories, and unforgettable mama character to the stage for a night of comedy entertainment, according to a news release from the venue. Lawrence has also received multiple Golden Globe nominations and topped the musical charts with the 1973 hit The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, which reached number one in both the United States and Canada. Ticket pre-sales will take place beginning at 10 a.m. today and tomorrow, with general ticket sales beginning at 10 a.m. on Friday via Ticketmaster. Heartland to offer improv training. Heartland Theatre Company is offering an improv workshop class series this fall. The workshop will be led by Wes Melton on Heartland's stage at 1110 Douglas Street in Normal in the Community Activity Center. Participants will learn basic improv principles and how to apply those to theatrical work and everyday life. They will also learn and practice short-term improv games with an introduction to various long forms, according to the news release. Class size is limited to 12, and registration is available online through September 27th. The class fee is $150 and is due on the first day of class. It can be paid by check, credit card, or cash. Participants must be 18 or older. There will be 7 class sessions offered from 5 to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting on September 27th. Subsequent dates will be October 1st, October 6th, October 8th, October 13th, October 15th, and October 20th. A public showcase will then be from 7 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, October 24th. You can visit heartlandtheater.org/class registration to register or for more information. Dinner lecture on Lincoln set. The Elkhart, Illinois Historical Society is hosting a dinner lecture this month, Lincoln, the Man, the Myth, the Legend. The lecture will be presented by Rick Kleindienst, exploring the many myths and conflicting stories about Lincoln's lifetime. Kleindienst, who is from Mid-America National Bank, will explore these, along with other myths, truths, and misrepresentations about Lincoln through history, according to a news release. The event will take place on Friday, September 25th, including dinner, followed by the lecture. Doors will open at 5 p.m. and dinner will be served at 5:30 p.m. at the Wild Hare, 104 Governor Oglesby Street in Elkhart. Tickets are $50 per person, and reservations must be made by September 18th by calling 217-947-2238. Visit ElkhartHistoricalSociety.org for more information. Sarah Attig, family life educator for the University of Illinois Extension, representing Livingston, McLean, and Woodford County, offers us her Healthy Family article. Try being grateful to improve your health. Are you looking for a simple daily practice that can improve your health and well-being? The answer may be closer than you think, but it might not be what you expect. Instead of a new workout program, a fad diet, or trending supplement, the answer might be a short list of things that make our day brighter. Research suggests that taking time to notice and write down things we are grateful for can lead to meaningful improvement in overall well-being. According to a University of Rochester Medical Center article summarizing a 2021 review of research, keeping a gratitude journal can improve heart health by lowering blood pressure and regulating breathing and heart rate. The article also noted that by focusing on positive outcomes in our lives, we increase positive emotions and train our brain to be more sensitive to the experience of gratitude. Over time, this practice may improve mental health and strengthen resilience to stress. A 2025 article from the American Brain Foundation highlighted several potential benefits of practicing gratitude, including developing a more positive mindset, reducing stress, anxiety, and depression, improving emotional resilience, focus, immunity, and sleep, strengthening social ties and connection with others. Try writing down 3 good things each day. Those 3 things will be different for everyone and will change from day to day. The secret is not what the 3 things are. What matters is taking the time to notice positive moments, write them down, and experience gratitude for them. If you're having trouble coming up with a list, you could consider these questions. What made you laugh or smile today? Who are you grateful for? What item in your life brings you comfort? What was the most delicious thing that you tasted today? What did you notice in nature that inspired a sense of awe? My three good things from yesterday included a warm cup of coffee in the morning, a long walk while enjoying the changing colors of the sunset, and catching up with friends through our group text message. Grab a notebook or journal and use it to support your gratitude practice. Try it for 30 days and see whether you notice a shift in your outlook. Ready to take it a step further? You can share your gratitude with others. A heartfelt thank you note, a kind text, or a note of appreciation can brighten someone else's day while strengthening your own sense of gratitude. Remember that ADEG is a family life educator for the University of Illinois Extension. You can contact her with your questions or comments at 815-842-1776. Bloomington's 5-day forecast. It will be humid today with chances of thunderstorms. You can expect 2 to 4 hours of sunshine with a 70% chance of precipitation and average relative humidity of 80%. The high temperature will be 85 degrees. Tonight, there will be chances of stray thunderstorms. The chance of precipitation is 55%, with average relative humidity of 95% and a low night temperature of 66 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, it will be mostly cloudy and less humid. Temperatures are expected to be between 79 and 56 degrees. Friday, partly sunny, temperatures between 81 and 63 degrees. Saturday, there is a chance of another thunderstorm, increased humidity, temperatures between 83 and 64 degrees, and Sunday, partly sunny and continued humid, temperatures between 79 and 62 degrees. Pollen counts today for trees and mold are low, but the pollen counts for grasses and weeds are high. Registered dietitian and nutritionist and author Barbara Intermel offers her column on nutrition, Lessons from Alaska. We just returned from a remarkable trip to our country's 49th state, and Alaska did not disappoint. Besides its spectacular display of oceans, mountains, glaciers, and wildlife, this land carries a rich history. One story that caught my attention, because it's nutrition-related, involves Alaska's state tree, the Sitka spruce. Sailors explored the coasts of this large territory in the late 1700s under the command of such notables as Captain William Bligh of Mutiny on the Bounty fame and Captain James Cook. These adventurers subsisted on food that could survive months, sometimes years, at sea, including such lovely fare as salted beef and pork, hard biscuits, and beans. Drinking water was stored in barrels for the long trips, and even this spoiled and turned slimy after a few weeks. That's at least one reason why these travelers often got their fluids from beer and other such beverages. Fresh fruits and vegetables were almost non-existent on these long voyages across the ocean. Thus, many sailors fell ill to scurvy, a disease caused by a deficiency of vitamin C. In 1778, Bligh accompanied Captain Cook on a quest to map Alaska's coastline. By this time, Cook had learned that Alaskan natives who drank a tea brewed with the tips of spruce trees did not develop joint pain, weakness, bleeding gums, and loose teeth associated with scurvy. Turns out the tips of the Sitka spruce trees, the new bright green growth that appears on the branches each spring, is high in vitamin C. However, there was one problem with this life-saving tea. It turned sour on long voyages unless it was added to beer. Today, many Alaskan breweries feature vitamin C-infused spruce tip beer, just in case you forget to drink your orange juice. We also learned about Alaskan sledding dogs and their owners when we visited Juneau. These dogs are professional athletes, one trainer explained. As opposed to many of our furry friends at home, he told us these dogs have a daily caloric intake exactly measured to keep them lean, not skinny. Note taken. We met a young trainer who is getting her dogs ready to compete in the Iditarod, the yearly 1,000-plus-mile race that honors the sled dogs that delivered mail and supplies during the days of the Alaskan Gold Rush. This young woman's dietary issue? Eating enough calories to endure the grueling night and day trek with her valuable dogs. I try to gain at least 30 extra pounds before the race to get me through to the finish, she said. Then she said her main challenge is to pack enough easy-to-eat, high-calorie, nutrition-packed food to sustain her excessive caloric needs through the strenuous course. I suggested a high-calorie protein drink, and she politely reminded me of the fact that liquids freeze when mushing across 1,000 miles of snow in Alaska. Barbara Intermel is the author of the book Quinn Essential Nutrition, The Uncomplicated Science of Eating. You can email her at barbara@quinnessentialnutrition.com. From Jessica Bunch at Environmental Nutrition, for a healthy liver, how to support this vital organ through everyday eating. The liver is one of your body's most important organs. It helps clean the blood, process nutrients from food, make bile to digest fat, and manage how the body stores and uses energy. Because it does so many jobs, the liver is strongly affected by what we eat and drink every day. The good news is that you do not need special detox drinks or extreme diets to keep your liver healthy. In fact, most liver support comes from simple, steady eating habits that reduce stress on the body and provide key nutrients. Eat more fiber-rich whole food. Fiber is one of the best nutrients for liver health. It helps digestion, keeps blood sugar steady, and reduces how much fat the liver has to process. Foods like oats, beans, lentils, fruits, vegetables, and whole grains are all high in fiber. These foods slow down how quickly sugar enters the blood, which helps prevent the liver from turning extra sugar into stored fat. On the other hand, foods made with white flour or added sugar, such as white bread, pastry, and many packaged snacks, can raise blood sugar quickly and put more pressure on the liver over time. Choose healthier fats. Not all fats are the same. Some fats can support liver health, while others can make it harder for the liver to work well. Healthier fats include unsaturated fats found in foods like nuts, seeds, avocados, and fatty fish. A good example is olive oil, which often is used in Mediterranean-style eating. These fats may help reduce fat buildup in the liver and support overall heart and metabolic health. Less healthy fat includes trans fats found in fried and packaged foods, and too much saturated fat found in fatty meat and full-fat processed foods. Eating too much of these can increase fat buildup in the liver over time. Cut back on added sugar. One of the biggest dietary causes of liver stress is too much added sugar. This is especially true for sugary drinks like soda, sweet tea, energy drinks, and many processed foods. A type of sugar called fructose is mainly processed in the liver. When you consume too many fructose-sweetened foods and drinks, the liver can convert the fructose to fat. Over time, this may lead to a condition called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, where fat builds up in the liver, even in people who do not drink alcohol. The easiest way to protect your liver is to cut back on sugar drinks, desserts, and highly processed snacks. Replacing soda with water or unsweetened drinks is one of the most helpful changes you can make. Eat more antioxidant-rich foods. The liver works hard every day, which creates stress in the form of oxidation. Antioxidants help protect liver cells from this stress. Fruits and vegetables are the best source of antioxidants. Berries, oranges, apples, leafy greens, carrots, and peppers are helpful choices. These foods contain vitamins and plant compounds that support the liver's natural ability to prepare and protect itself. Green tea also contains antioxidants that may support liver health. Coffee, in moderate amounts, has also been linked to many studies for better liver health. It may help lower liver inflammation and reduce the risk of liver scarring in some people. Stay hydrated and eat regular meals. Water is important for all body functions, including the liver. Staying hydrated helps the body move nutrients and waste products through the system more easily. It also helps to eat regular meals instead of skipping meals or overeating. Large, heavy meals, especially ones high in sugar and fat, can make the liver work harder all at once. Balanced meals that include protein, fiber, and healthy fats help keep blood sugar steady and reduce stress on liver. And lifestyle matters too. Food is only one part of liver health. Other habits are important. Regular physical activity helps reduce fat in the liver and improves how the body uses insulin. Limiting alcohol is also very important. Sleep and stress also matter. If you'd like more information about this newsletter, Environmental Nutrition does have an award-winning newsletter. You can visit environmentalnutrition.com. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for September 9th, 2026. Please stay tuned.